Welcome to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. From handguns to rifles and hunting to self-defense, even a bit of politics. It's time to exercise your First and Second Amendment rights. Call and join the conversation, 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Dick Kupke.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Trigger Talk on this May 29th already. And you wouldn't know it from the temperature outside. It's like, well, it's actually a little better today. Yesterday it was 44 and rainy. It was like early spring, but it's getting up. It's at least it's sunshiny today. Maybe we will have a decent Memorial Day weekend. And we should always take a chance. And you know, I want to make sure. And actually, in my family, my mom still calls it, because she always talks about her dad calling it this, and she always called it this Decoration Day, which is when they would decorate the gravestones in the cemetery. And then in the early 70s, it was changed to Memorial Day. And a lot of people kind of get these things confused, and it's a shame because, you know, so you don't want to, you know, thank a veteran or something like that, because actually that's for Veterans Day. I want to say Memorial Day is for the soldiers, men and women who were killed while serving in uniform and or out of uniform, but serving their country and died in the service to their country. And so you always have to remember that when you're out there and remember that this is a solemn weekend. I know that that people, you know, look at it as the traditional start to the summer season, and they have barbecues and things like that. But as a matter of fact, I saw a meme that showed a little girl, and she's standing next to her dad, and he's working the grill, and she's holding, you know, a plate of hot dogs and stuff like that. And she goes, "How much did all this cost?" And then the next frame shows him with the, you know, the bubble, the little cloud from his mind thinking, and he's looking out at the tombstones at like Arlington or some of the other cemeteries, military cemeteries that are around the country. And so the price was very high. And you got to think about it. In World War I, we lost 116,516 soldiers, and in World War II, 405,399. In Korea, 33,686. In Vietnam, 58,209. In Iraq, that's the first Gulf War, 4,404. And in Afghanistan, 1,086. And we are still losing soldiers to this day. You may not hear about it. They may be and I want to say soldiers, warfighters, airmen, seamen, not just soldiers, which are army. But at any rate, it's a solemn occasion. So take time to remember them this weekend. If you are having a barbecue or something, say a little prayer for the guys, okay? The men and women who gave their life defending our country. Let's see. We can go back up to, there are a couple of gun shows. We have the Harrison and Clare gun show at the Clare County Fairgrounds in Harrison. That's today and tomorrow. We have the Miami County, that's the only one in Michigan. In Ohio, we've got one, the Miami County Fairgrounds in Troy, Ohio. Missouri's got two, Dexter gun show in the Lair Event Center in Dexter, Missouri, and the End at Grand Glaze at Osage Beach, the gun show at the lake. And New York doesn't have any. So I want to say, if you do go to a gun show, you know, think about the men and women who gave their life to preserve your rights to be able to do that, especially right now when there are a number of people who are attempting to take away those rights from us. Let's see. Next week, we should have new numbers when it comes to CPLs. We're still at 743,598. Let's see. Oh, I saw a meme that made me laugh. This is one of the funny things from this week. It's a woman, an elderly woman, and she's walking with a walker, and she's got what looks like her granddaughter is helping her and assisting her. And the old woman says, back in 2019, I paid 13 cents a round for 9mm. And the granddaughter goes, sure you did, Grandma. Let's get you back in bed now. I'm going to put that up on the website when I post the podcast today, because that is awful funny, because now people are paying a buck a round or more for ammunition. So a lot of stuff going on in the news. We tend to inform each other on things, and I got a text from Ed Bondarenko this morning, who does the show Your American Heritage, and he asked me, and I've been staying up on this, the whole Biden stuff and the Biden pick for ATF, and I had been listening to some of the things on YouTube and on the media about the questioning, and there's a whole bunch of individual things, but one of the ones I liked, and Ed brought it up this morning, was when Senator Kennedy from Louisiana attempts to get David Chipman to define the assault weapons, and he said that, well, that definition is for Congress to decide, and he went on to say that one definition, Kennedy goes, no, what's your definition? Well, what's your definition? And the guy is so shifty. Matter of fact, he just looks shifty, doesn't he? He looks like, he looks like that one. Did Kevin Bacon play that part when was in Animal House, the guy that played the ROTC guy that got run over? But that's who he kind of looked like. And the guy just looked shifty. And so there's been a number of things out there going on where people were talking to him, like Senator Mike Lee was pressing him on some things back in April 2020, about first-time gun owners. And this guy Chipman was making fun of first-time gun owners. He goes, most of the new buyers who went out to the gun store and bought a gun have no training whatsoever. In their mind, they might be competent. They might think they're diehard and ready to go. But unfortunately, they're more like that Tiger King guy. They put themselves and their families in danger. And he goes, I would suggest that if they did go out and buy a gun, that I would secure that gun locked and loaded and hide it behind cans of tuna and beef jerky that you stored in the cabinet, and only bring it out if zombies start to appear. Now, Senator Mike Lee called that flippant and pretentious, and it is troubling, too. His attitude is that, and I want to say it's like a meme that I've got that says, stop calling my guns military grade. My guns are way better than military grade, okay? The point is that they think that they're the only ones that know anything about firearms or law enforcement or gunfighting or any of that kind of self-defense, any of that kind of stuff. And there are a ton of people who are very well trained. Okay. Now, it is true, we had 8.7 million new gun owners last year. So especially with the fact that ammunition's been hard to find, they probably haven't been able to take as much training as they'd like to do. So I want to say there's a little bit of a point that it could be that people are not as well trained as they could be, but that doesn't mean that they can't. They, especially if they first got the gun, they bought it at a gun shop with a range. They got a box or two of ammunition, and they took some instruction before they started. This Chipman guy went on. He goes, "Oh, I was just calling it self-deprecating humor because I'm the guy that stored guns behind tuna." It's like they always try to flip joke. Oh, that was a joke about me or whatever. It's like Governor Whitmer with her husband and getting the boat out for the summer. Okay. Oh, yeah, he was just joking. By the way, do you notice that she actually her campaign is paying for two flights now on that jet, $50,000. And by the way, they never mentioned it, that when she came back, she brought her daughters back with her. How did her daughters get down there, by the way? I thought that you weren't supposed to travel, Governor Whitmer. But no, that plane, had, and you only paid for one ticket down, but I could see maybe claiming that, and by the way, not a ticket, you paid $855 for a round-trip flight on a private jet. Yeah, that covered the cost. But it turns out now that when she came back, she had her two daughters with her. Oh, we hadn't heard that. How much more don't we know yet? So, at any rate, let's see what else we've got here. I want to say I am a little bit disgusted that almost all the news that you can find about guns is related to the ATF director and what they're talking about. It's always about gun control. It's about taking away your Second Amendment rights. They don't even pretend now that they don't want to take away their guns, okay? Because, did you guys see when Ted Cruz was questioning him? And he goes, The AR-15 is the most popular rifle out there. It's not a machine gun. It's a semi-automatic rifle. And you would like to take that away? And he responded, of course. Okay. They're not even pretending. And then he goes on to say that what we would do is we would put it under the NFA rules. Well, what? Why? Oh, because it's a particularly lethal firearm? Let me find this. I've got this... let me find it here. I know this is boring when I'm going through. The AR-15 is the gun I was issued at ATF SWAT team, and it's a particularly lethal weapon, and regulating it as other particularly lethal weapons I have advocated for. And then, so Cruz went on to say, what makes it particularly lethal? And he didn't explain that, okay? And then he confirmed, I would just enforce the laws on the books. Again, relying on Congress to define those laws, which are one of the things that we have to be careful of, because if they do, virtually any semi-automatic rifle will end up being an NFA weapon, which means then you'll have to pay a $200 tax stamp for it, okay? And you'll have to register it. And everybody will know where it's at, and they will know exactly where the guns are, okay? I think that would be wrong, and I think that hopefully the courts would take care of that. Oh, let's see. Another interesting thing that came up is, have you seen, do you remember Rand Paul? Now, he's been pretty good. I go back and forth on Rand Paul, because sometimes he seems to be... sometimes he's very forward and correct about things, and other times he's a little namby-pamby about it. And I want to say he's been pretty good talking about the coronavirus with Dr. Fauci and stuff. But do you remember a year or two ago when his neighbor beat him up and broke his ribs and, I mean, severely injured him and stuff? And there have been a lot of people in the media that will continue to make fun of him and talk about him. And I got to say, Richard Marx, who is a has-been singer, he decided this week I get a kick, a tweet by Richard Marx, who was apparently a famous singer in the 80s and 90s, actually... The guy who wrote it said, "Don't ask me. I was born in 2003." So this is a guy who had who was a famous guy back in 30, 40 years ago. He went on Twitter, which is never a good idea, and he says, "If I ever meet Rand Paul's neighbors, I'm going to hug him and buy him a drink, as many drinks as he can consume." So he then quickly deleted it because he realized, first of all, we don't care what you think, Mr. Has-been singer from the 80s and 90s, but that you're inciting violence on somebody. And so what happened is that it's mainly because Rand Paul's been grilling Dr. Fauci over the origins of the coronavirus and stuff. But so what happened is his wife, I want to say, went online and said, I'm sick of the hatred and vitriol from people who boast their empathy and compassion in their bios. This is like Richard Marx and stuff like that. For years, people like Bette Midler have cheered Rand's horrific attack and serious injuries. The former Teacher of the Year, Rod Robinson, tweeted that Rand's attacker was a hero and urged Mitch McConnell to step up. Why is he, and why is this guy still teaching? Okay, so his wife said, I'm sick of the hatred and vitriol that people who boasted of their empathy and compassion in their bios. Rand will continue to stand up for our constitutionally protected liberties. We won't be intimidated. And yes, we have guns. Okay, so she's saying we're armed. Okay, we will protect ourselves. So if you think you're going to intimidate them, you're not going to. Okay. Let's see. What else did we come up with? Oh, there's all sorts of things. There's Joy Reid is triggered. MSNBC's Joy Reid is triggered by Senator John Kennedy's gun fetishing video. What is that? Well, she considers the Second Amendment and the NRA and other people like that to be gun fetishists. Okay. Where, we have these love for guns. And, I'm going to say I enjoy guns. I really like guns. But I want to say to indicate that we have some kind of unhealthy love for these things is ridiculous. Well, Louisiana senator did an NRA, this is Senator Kennedy, did an NRA video. And he's seen saying, I believe love is the answer, but you ought to own a handgun just in case. I think that is hilarious because, you do have a lot of people like the Pope and stuff like that. Oh, love everybody. Yes, but, trust, but verify. Well, yes, love everybody, but be able to defend yourself. Okay. Oh, let's see. What else have we got? Let's see. I want to say I was. Oh, this is like the laugh of the week, and this makes me laugh because I see these things all the time. It happens in Minneapolis. It happens all over the place. Where in Atlanta, an Atlanta city councilman who voted to defund. Hold on a second. I got to fix this. Who voted to defund the police. There we go. Gosh darn it. Hold on. I'm trying to fix my screen. An Atlanta city councilman who voted to defund the police was actually at a ribbon cutting ceremony. I get a kick out of this because this is pretty funny. The Atlanta City Councilman Antonio Brown, who is also an Atlanta City Councilman. Now, which city is he from? I thought it was Atlanta. Yeah, Atlanta. Okay, not Atlantic City. Atlanta City Councilman Antonio Brown. He was a mayoral candidate who voted to fund the local police last year, said he was so upset because he was forced to wait an hour for assistance Wednesday after a group of youths stole his car. Oh, the horror, okay? Mr. Brown told WSB-TV that he was on hold with 9/11 for 5 full minutes before he was able to tell him that he was the victim of a car theft following a ribbon-cutting ceremony for a Dunkin' Donuts and Baskin-Robbins combination store in Atlanta's Dixie Hill neighborhood. Now, this is funny because listen to this. Mr. Brown said he was outside speaking with a business owner when four kids, youth ranging from ages 7 to 11, okay, got into his Mercedes parked just a few feet away. He said he tried to stop the kids from driving away, but they dragged him for a half a block before he let go. He said, Mr. Brown said it took 45 minutes for police to arrive because his call was incorrectly labeled a low priority dispatch. Well, actually, it was a low priority because it was a car theft, okay? Wasn't a personal injury kind of thing. It wasn't a active shooter kind of thing. And so at any rate, these kids were ages 7 to 11. By the way, did you leave your keys in the car? They probably don't even have keys. Probably has a key fob. Didn't you take it in your pocket? Because I would imagine your Mercedes probably has a push-to-start button. And if you had the key fob in your pocket, they couldn't have stole it. But if you left it in the car, then they could have. Maybe there's some personal responsibility there, okay? Let's see. Southwick and Associates survey. This is a market research firm. And they said that the ammunition demand will not subside soon. Oh, no. Okay. In April 2021, Southwick Associates surveyed more than 1,800 ammunition consumers as part of a quarterly hunter survey, shooter survey tracking study. And out of these respondents, in 2020, they found that 4 out of 5 consumers encountered out-of-stock issues. So that's 80%. While 3/4 encountered out-of-stock conditions so far in 2021. So maybe that's a little bit better, but it's still bad. A full of these respondents, 79% reported either fully or partially reducing their target shooting and hunting outings as a result of depleted ammunition shelves, meaning they couldn't get it at the stores, or maybe their own shelves at home are being depleted and they don't want to use it all up. Going forward, ammunition demand is expected to remain high. Nearly 2/3 of ammunition consumers report their current ammunition inventory was lower than they would prefer. When asked how much more ammunition they would like to have on hand, 40% reported much more. Yes, of course. While 38% reported a little more, and only 17% were satisfied with the amounts they currently had on hand. So I want to say that 17% is either somebody who thinks that a box of ammo is enough or somebody who's got 20 or 30,000 rounds in the basement. Okay, so yeah, you got to kind of understand where they're coming from. When somebody says they'd like to have much more, well, I would like to have much more, but I may have a lot on hand, but I still could use much more, okay? When asked why they desired more ammunition, key reasons included uncertainty about future ammunition supplies, 72%. And this is especially true among consumers 45 years and older, okay, 45 plus years of age. Uncertainty about future restrictions on ammunition purchases, 70%. Uncertainty about future economic conditions, 54%. And increased shooting and hunting activity, then this was 26%. So more shooting and hunting, this was most common among 25 to 35-year-olds. So this is actually good that the people who are talking about, well, I've been shooting more and I'm worried about getting enough ammunition because I've been trying to hunt more or shoot more or whatever, that was in the younger group. That's good news for shooting sports and gun ownership in general. Along with the fact that we had 8.7 million new shooters last year, the fact that we're having younger shooters is very good, too. Let's see. And then the last thing on this segment we'll talk about is that Officer Sylvester, who did that great video, audio and video about mocking LeBron James, says he's the target of a cancel culture. He's been fired from his Idaho police officer job. Now, I got to believe somebody else is going to be picking him up because, I mean, there are other people. There are hundreds of videos that were made. This guy got fired. They claim because of other reasons, but apparently it's not his first video, so he apparently is an active pro-gun guy. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Wham! Talk 1600. Welcome back to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. Call now, 734-822-1600 to join in the conversation.
And we're back. And I was reading an article this week, and it's a pretty good thing to talk about, especially given that right now it can be difficult to find guns, okay? There are guns, there are some guns available, and actually some of the stores will have them, but not the hundreds of them like you used to see. Like if you'd walk into Cabela's or into Johnson Sporting Goods and Adrian or any other place, you will find that the pickings are slim because everybody is just like you thinking about, I'd like to get a gun. And the used ones are I want to say slim pickings. The new ones are slimmer pickings. But you got to think about, how do you buy a used gun? And I want to say I have never been shied away from used guns. I have probably 80%, 75% of my guns are used when I got them. And that's because they don't make them like that anymore, okay? It's or because I have a desire for a certain model that is something from my youth or also something that is just particularly class, you know, like an M1 Garand or an M1 Carbine. Where can you find? You can't find something like, well, you can kind of, but and there are companies that actually make replicas of them today. But you pay a very pretty penny for those. You also pay a pretty penny for them as used guns as well. But I always liked used guns. And so I guess you need to think about a couple of things when you're buying a used gun. And first of all, is that if you get it from a dealer, you can be reasonably assured that it is a legitimate gun that is in likely safe. But you also need to verify that with a gunsmith if you have any questions about it. But you can be certain that if it's from a regular FFL, like a store or one of the gun shops, that it will be have a good history in that it is not a stolen gun, used in a crime, things like that, okay? So what happens is you can go and find let's say you're looking in the gun store and you find a used Glock, and it's a good couple hundred dollars cheaper than a brand new one. So that's good. And you go, well, I think that I'd be interested in that. But if you go and find a gun that is $100, okay, and it would normally be a $400 gun, or it's $100 and $100 gun will likely shoot like a $100 gun, okay? Something may very well be wrong with it. It might be broken. It might be stolen. It might be fake. There is no free lunch when it comes to guns. We've got Tom from Detroit online with a comment about the Idaho police officer. Hi, Tom. How are you this morning?
Hi. You kind of got me with that buying a used gun thing. I bought a lot of them. You know, I usually like to take a magnifying glass and a flashlight and look down the muzzle to make sure that the there isn't a lot of corrosion from corrosive ammo and that the lands are good all the way down to the muzzle.
Boy, you are you're right on, Tom. I'm just getting to that part. I just started into this discussion, but I'm going to go into all of that stuff too, because there are certain things you do care about and other things you don't care about. But what was your comment about the officer?
Yeah, I kind of had a flash of insight. Okay, they fired him for what he posted on his own time, right? And
right.
We got a 13th Amendment that, forbids involuntary servitude. So let's say this is a private company. I mean, they can't just come up to me and you know, take a gun or a whip or what have you and make me work for free. So if I'm working at a place and they're firing people for what they put online, maybe they're paying me minimum wage. Okay, but now I'm on call 24 hours a day. They're controlling me. I'm serving them, you know, with my mind and body. I can't do what I want to do. So are they going to pay me my minimum wage for 24 hours a day? Plus, you know, that would include the overtime and things of that nature. And just kind of a thought I had about, you know.
I would agree with you, although in this case, he was in his cruiser wearing his police uniform. And he had on his, so I want to say that's a little bit of a gray area. Even he claims he was off duty, but he was still identifying as a department police officer. So I don't agree with what they did. And if they want to say, hey, you can't do that when you're wearing your uniform, even if it's during a break or something, because you're representing the police department, I could agree with that. But, you know, so it's kind of a gray area there, don't you think?
Well, I mean, I know that the departments have rules that, you know, that police and fire, for that matter, EMS, aren't supposed to wear their uniforms when they're off duty. Of course, you got to wear, you can wear, you know, riding home or what have you. But, yeah, that, I suppose that is. I guess I wasn't listening close.
He did it as if he was sitting in his cruiser taking a call or, you know, responding to a call. And then he just, before he decides to take action, he calls LeBron James to see if it's okay to do something. And so, I mean, I thought it was hilarious personally. Did you see it?
No.
Oh, look it up. It's outstanding. I'll have to see if I can maybe, did you ever go on my website, Tom?
Yeah, I've been on there. I got it bookmarked. I haven't been on there lately.
I'll look to see if I can find a YouTube link to it and see if I can put on it, because it's worth watching. It was hilarious. Okay. Hey, well, thank you. Have a nice weekend, Tom. Thank you for listening today.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay, bye. We've got Mike from Brighton on the phone with a question about a Carcano rifle. Oh, my goodness. There's a bit of history.
Hi, Dick. Thanks so much for taking my call. Your show's the highlight of my week, man.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, so what do you think of these Carcano rifles that are trickling in as military surplus right now? Is this the next Mosin Nagant or Arisaka? Or, I mean, are they worth the time?
They're a step down from some of these other ones. Even a Mosin Nagant has more interest, I want to say. But I think that, by the way, there's a ton of these coming in from a company called Royal Tiger Imports. Is that where you're talking about?
Yeah, and even Palmetto State Armory got a shipment of them and was selling them for like $219.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, what was great was one of my Mosin Nagants I got for $49 from Dunham's like 15, 20 years ago when they were really, really cheap. I don't think we'll ever see that again. But
no, I'll never see that.
I want to say the Carcanos had both a bad rap because they were really made fun of a lot when the whole Kennedy and Lee Harvey Oswald thing was going, because they talked about it being inaccurate and actually the one that he had supposedly had a scope with a loose mount on it and stuff. The gun is I would have one. I have a friend that's got one. I don't happen to have one. The ammunition is a little bit, I want to say the original ammunition, it used long, skinny bullets. I think they're 6.5. Is it a 6.5 by 46 or something is the ammo?
I think it's 6.5 by 55, but I could easily be wrong.
Okay, so that 6.5 by 55 is and 6.5 is actually a very, very popular caliber right now, okay? Like 6.5 Creedmoor and 6.5 SPC and these various ones. But most of the surplus ammo for those were very long, solid lead or full metal jacket, like round noses, okay? I think that they would be a fun rifle to have, and I would have one. And again, though, the ammo might be difficult. Did whoever's importing it, are they having a bunch of surplus ammo available or just the guns?
Just the guns. There's a company out of Germany, and I'm completely failing on the name of it, but they're doing a pretty good job of importing new manufacture ammo that's a little lower spec so you can run it in these rifles.
Okay.
But it's still about a dollar a round.
Okay. No, I would say, and I would think that you could have some fun with a Carcano and use some of these newer low drag bullets that are being used on things like 6.5 Creedmoor and stuff. You might make yourself a really accurate rifle. I would not hesitate to get one. So I do think it will be, if they found a bunch of them. Now, I want to say, Royal Tiger Imports, they went over to Ethiopia and they found hundreds of thousands of old bolt action rifles and actually M1 carbines and other things like that. Now, they're not cheap. The desirable ones are going for like $1,000 and stuff, but the Mausers and some of the other ones, and that includes Carcanos, have been in the 279 range and stuff like that. So if you're finding them for 219, now what condition are those in? What grade are those?
Well, because it's coming from Palmetto State Armory and they really aren't a surplus goods household name, I don't know. The pictures look a little rough, and I've seen some stuff online of some kind of badly cracked stocks showing up. So I would definitely trust Royal Tiger Imports a lot more.
Yeah. Yep. But I would not hesitate to have one. Matter of fact, if one crossed my path for $219, I just might take that home with me.
Me too. Do you think that they can be hand-loaded with more modern bullets?
I'm sure they can be, because a 6.5 millimeter in the right weight range, you know, probably, I don't know, 140 grains or something like that, and you could get ones that have different ballistic coefficients. You could get ones with expanding tips for hunting. I mean, you could have a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, the 143, I think, ELDs are pretty amazing from everything that I've seen. I've shot some factory ammo with that out of a Ruger American rifle. But,
yep.
Yeah, I didn't know if you could really reload being 6.5 just because it's so long.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but you know what? The thing is that they have very, very long overall lengths, but actually some of these newer, lower ballistic, like you said, the VLD kind of bullets, are long profiles too. So you just have to make sure that it fits in the magazine and that it doesn't have too much bullet jump when it to engage the rifling. So, okay.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay, Mike. Very good. Thanks for calling. Ed from Ypsilanti's on the phone with a question about ammo. Hi, Ed.
Hi, Dick. You know, I was going to, actually, the question was about, and unfortunately, I just think I found out the answer looking online, but this guy who killed some people in San Jose, you know, they're making him out to be, you know, well, I mean, he's a killer. Let's put it that way. But he had, did you know he had 12 guns and 25,000 rounds of ammo and 32 high-capacity magazines, some with 12 rounds?
Oh, you know? My goodness, 12 rounds? More than the 10 they allow in California?
Yeah, pretty much. I think that changed too, but I think the Supreme Court overruled it, or the Ninth. But regardless, I was wondering what happened to all that ammo. I want to see if it's going up on auction.
Oh, I'm sure it'll disappear in police stores or something. But
well, what it looks like is he actually burned everything in his house before he left on his.
Oh, he did. Actually, that, you know, I mean, the whole thing too. By the way, and I'm trying to avoid the situation, but you know they. It immediately turned into a call for gun control. And we even had gun control people talking about how, boy, this shows we have to ban assault rifles when the guy used a 9 millimeter handgun, okay?
Yeah, yep.
And and he had 30 magazines with him. Okay, well, so that was 300 rounds. Okay, so the most he could have probably had in a normal 9 millimeter would be 15 or 17 rounds. So he barely, you know, and if he had, oh my goodness, a 12 round, you know, 10 would have been okay. If he killed the people with 10 round magazines, that would have been okay. But since it's 12 rounds, nope.
It says he got off a total of 39 shots. I really didn't mean to get off on this guy, but I just wondered, what do they do with the ammo and the guns? But I guess he took care of that question right there.
Well, he probably did. Although, if it was in a safe, you know, who knows what a guy like that's thinking. And he burnt the house. Was that a diversion to, you know, I don't know.
Well, he must have been a wacko. He had a number of guns at home, you know. 12 guns at home. I mean, that, you got to be a wacko. And 25,000 rounds of ammunition. I just would like
12 guns at home. I sometimes have 12 guns when I go to the range.
That's where I was going, brother. And I think you have more than 25,000 rounds. Hey, wait a minute. We don't want to call any attention to you. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Okay, I'll see you later.
All right, have a good day. Back to use gun buying. See ya.
Yep. So, you know, the fact is that that immediately what turned into a call for more gun control. And actually, let me find I did have a little bit of the story here. But the fact is that the guy, if there was ever a case that was red flag, I mean, apparently he has been talking about being upset and killing his coworkers and stuff for 20 years. Okay. Nobody thought anything about that. And by the way, they said, if he really didn't like his coworkers that much, why don't you just get a different job? Okay. The guy had a screw loose, clearly. He did not have a criminal history. So he was able to buy guns. Okay. It'd be interesting to know more about his background, and I'm sure it's going to come out too. So, and if it doesn't come out very slowly or very fast or loudly, then it doesn't suit the narrative. Okay. If he was a liberal, nope, can't have that. So we'll bury that. Okay. Let's see here. So I'm talking about, used guns here for a moment. And in the time that we have left, and some of the things about the used guns are that you really should decide, first of all, by the way, if it's lowballed, I mean, you don't find a $100 Glock, okay? You don't find, and by the way, though, it to the point where Tom from Detroit was making, there is nothing wrong with a used firearm, okay? If you take your time to check it over. Okay. It can have, I have some guns that I purchased that have, holster wear on them. They are police turn-ins and they have shiny spots in the finish. Oh my goodness. Where they were carried in a holster by an officer for a long time. And clearly, he or she only shot it for qualifications because it's like brand new on the inside and out, except for a little holster wear. That you should not let the cosmetics, a light amount of cosmetic wear like that, be a problem. Okay. However, if it's been shot out, I mean, if the rifling's gone, if you open it up and the thing is so worn, and by the way, if it's filthy and worn, then pass. Okay, but a gun that has been carried a lot and shot very little is a desirable gun because it's been cleaned, carried, and shot for qualifications each year and stuff, but it doesn't have a real high round count in it. Like some of the guys that, you know, maybe shoot for IDPA every weekend and stuff, their guns could have 20, 30, 40,000 rounds on them, okay? And then when they get rid of them, they're probably ready to be gotten rid of, okay? So you need to take a good look at it. Always, and I want to say you want to stick to a known commodity, okay? If you're going to buy a 45, like a 1911, you get a, you know, a Colt 45 is a known commodity, a SIG 45, any of the major brands, but a Spanish knockoff, that may be something that you might not decide to get, okay? Or something from a Chinese knockoff or one of the Eastern and Soviet bloc guns that you've never heard of before. The problem is that you may not be able to find parts for it down the road. The other thing is you should stick with a common caliber, and especially when it becomes hard to find ammo like it is now. If you decide you want a 9mm, stick with a 9mm, even though it's hard to find 9 right now. I know that. But don't go with a 9x19 or a 9x18 Makarov, or don't go with a 9x21 Largo, okay? Because you may have a lot of hard times finding that. Or let's say you got, I've got some guns I like, a CZ-54. Okay, that uses a 7.62x25 round, little bottleneck round, really cool. Okay, 30 caliber, 25 millimeter long case bottleneck, but it is hard to find the right ammo for it. And by the way, I want to use 25 Tokarov or 7.62 Tokarov, which is 30 caliber, not 7.63 Mauser, although it'll shoot it, the 7.63 Mauser, it is less powerful and won't run the action as well. So if you're going to get something that's an oddball caliber, you better know what you're getting into, okay? Let's see. Examine the gun carefully. As I said, you need to make sure the overall appearance looks decent, but don't worry about just purely cosmetic issues. If it's got a lot of corrosion on it, walk away from it, okay? Because it hasn't been oiled, it hasn't been cleaned. If it's got, look at the screws on it. If the screws are boogered up, what do I mean by boogered up? Let's say somebody used the wrong screwdriver, a regular wedge tip screwdriver, and it walked its way out of the screw while they were trying to loosen it, and it marred the heads and boogered up the slot. That is a good indicator that an amateur was working on the gun. Okay, so you want to make sure that it's a sure sign that something's wrong. Somebody used a wrong size screwdriver, didn't know what they were doing, if the heads of the screws are messed up. Okay, make sure, like Tom said, you look down the barrel, make sure the barrel is clean and bright. Okay, make sure that the rifling looks sharp. If it's the rifling that's supposed to be sharp, like with lands and grooves, like on a real rifled barrel. But it might be, you might go, oh gosh, that looks kind of smooth in there. Well, if it's a Glock barrel has this polygonal rifling that is actually instead of having grooves and lands, the shape of the barrel is actually kind of, it's shaped to start the rotational spin of the projectiles. So you have to know what you're looking at, okay? Let's see. Uh-oh, we're running out of time here. I want to say we're down to the last minute. I want to say that it's been a pleasure talking to you today. I wish that we would have gotten into more gun talk, but I'm glad in this second half of the show we actually got into guns and go out there and buy that Carcano. I want to say there's nothing wrong with these old bolt actions. When you find an old Mauser, a Czech Mauser, a Mosin Nagant, you can have a lot of fun with those for not much money. Again, check the ammunition situation. Sounds like Mike was also a hand loader, so have some fun with it. You can work up a round that might be very accurate. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at WAM Talk 1600 and 92.7 FM. I'll see you next week.